Good morning. This is Dr. Mercy, reaching out to all of our listeners with a wonderful show upcoming, The Age Nation. Welcome to Seeking Serenity. As you know, this program provides you, our listeners, our wonderful listeners, with insight into the powerful ways in which people have found deep peace and serenity in their lives. These are paths you might choose to follow to find your own peace, your own center, and your own meaning, if you only knew where to find the beginning of that path. As you know, I'm Dr. Marjorie Runyon, also known as Dr. Mercy, psychotherapist, author, and twin specialist. I use both cognitive and depth psychology in my work in order to help clients access the unconscious through meditation, dreams, hypnosis, and other techniques, all designed to release energy for spiritual awakening. To learn more about me and to see me or Skype with me if you like, please refer to my websites, twindreams.info and twindoctor.com. I'm here with George, and how do you pronounce your name, dearest one?
It's Sedina, like Sedona or Pasadena, Sedina.
Sedina, I thought so. Co-authors of Do Not Go Quietly. They have several books, some through Hay House, and what a wonderful publishing company that is. The one that's most recently been released, Do Not Go Quietly, A Guide to Living Consciously and Aging Wisely for People Who Weren't Born Yesterday, caught my eye. And at 64, going on 65 at the end of the month, I guess, well, perhaps I'm actually a year younger than Sedina, but I'm so excited about staying awake and alive and lifelong learning and aging wisely and remaining just, you know, awake through our lives. And when I heard about these two folks, and happily married, I might add, and their Age Nation, and I thought to myself, well, I'm not going quietly. I'm going to be, you know, have an open throat chakra, heck, you know. And so welcome to the show, George and Sedina. I'm so thrilled to have you.
Well, it's a pleasure, just a pleasure to be here, I know.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mercy. We're really happy to be here. And we're right in alignment, and I am going to be 65. We're both going to be 65 in May.
Oh, great. So we were born 1 week apart.
Yes.
How lovely. So you can be my sister or my twin if you want.
Yeah.
I seem to twin with everybody. Anyway, turning to your interests, what are you passionate about?
In a word, life.
Yeah.
In another word, soul. In another word, or a couple of words, maximizing the journey. You know, I think it was George Bernard Shaw who once said, you know, I want to be all used up when I pass on. I want to know that I've done all of the things that I wanted to do and learned the things that I'm here to do and that my journey's complete. And so that's part of the underlying and motivating factor of our lives and certainly of this book.
And also I want to add to that that one of my big passions is while I'm here in this physical body as a spiritual being, I really want to experience my connection, my oneness with all things, and my know my divinity, and really shine that out to everyone that I'm in contact with. And I'm very passionate about Age Nation, which is our organization that supports and provides solutions for people who weren't born yesterday, you say, but really for everybody to wake up to a new way of defining age and honoring it. It's a passion of mine. It's become that in my second half of life. And to be doing that with my husband is a real joy.
How did you come to this place?
which place? The place of having these passions?
Yes, and the place where we are today, talking in the present on this day.
Well, from my standpoint, it's been obviously a lifelong journey. It's been a blessed journey. I've had the privilege and the ability to do a large number of things in my life, and all of them have added to my knowledge and experience and whatnot. In terms of this particular journey on the topic of aging, I am aging. I'm 70. I'm older than both of you in that regard. But I'm also aware that life today at 70 is vastly different than it was for people before us. We woke up to this conversation on aging specifically in the way that we have when we made the end-of-life passages with both sets of parents.
And what did you learn?
That America was totally unprepared for the demographic revolution in which 50% of our population, at least some experts claim, will be over 50 for the first time in history. That the healthcare system isn't ready, the life care system isn't ready, our government, our institutions, many of our businesses, and many of us as individuals are just uninformed and unprepared for both the consequences and some of the remarkable opportunities. And that gave us a significant wake-up call. And Sadina and I, when we get one of those calls, we generally pick up and respond. And in this instance, we understood that there was something we could do about it.
Exactly. And also for me, I during that time, another impetus to begin this work was I sort of was going through a perfect storm of transition, is what I'm calling it, where right around 50, my mother had recently passed. I'm the oldest of eight kids. It was very close to my mother, and that was a challenging time. And I had just moved into a new home with George, my new husband. So all these new things, and then I got the call that I was officially in menopause. And at the same time, I was really beginning to experience the loss of the first half of my life. It just all hit me. So it was a perfect storm, and it just really woke me up. It created a passion to begin looking into this time of life. I'm part Native American, so I dug into my heritage and realized that this is a time that indigenous people, I discovered, the exploration just begins, and there's a tremendous celebration and honoring of this time of life, and at the time of giving back and legacy. So that inspired me even more so to do this work.
As Erickson says, integrity versus despair, we have a choice at this point.
Yes.
So do you feel more integrated now than you did in youth? Can you accept the parts of yourselves, including your shadow?
Well, I've been dancing with my shadow most of my life, and some days it leads and some days I lead, but from my personal perspective, again, I think that the process of integration and understanding is a continual one. And every time I think I've arrived at a plateau, I look a little off into the distance and I realize there's another hill, you know. Life feels vigorous at this particular time of life. I'm as deeply committed to my path and to the journey as I've ever been, and maybe more so. And it feels like this conversation that we are in, biologically, emotionally, spiritually, physically, intellectually, this conversation is a rich one, and we're right in the heart of it. And we wrote Do Not Go Quietly from that place, not as someone outside of it studying it as if it were something objective and different, but we wrote it from being right in it. And as we have written the book, our lives have also demonstrated some of the realities that we've been writing about, you know, going through financial changes as a result of the economic meltdown and experiencing a lot of the realities that all of us pass through at this time of life. So we're in this conversation and loving it.
Absolutely. You know, I think that as we grow old, you know, the beauty that we have is more inward. The body ages, but the spirit doesn't. I find more energy, more aliveness inside of me than I ever have. When I was younger, I was going way too fast to feel into anything. And I had all of these gifts. It's not that they weren't terrific gifts. And I know we lose some of our gifts as we grow older, but we also gain amazing gifts that we never had access to. And when we stand in our wisdom, that juicy wisdom that we've garnered from all the time before that got us to right here, right now, really just asking us something about. When we stand in this wisdom and experience and this seasoned knowledge and we honor these gifts, then we just have more to give and it keeps coming back to us. It's just like when we allow love in, we have more love to give and more possibilities unfold. That's been my experience. I feel so good inside, much better than I did in my tormented, you know, younger life, really. I look back and think, wow, you know, it was good in many, many ways, and I grew and I learned a lot. But this is all new territory. I'm reinventing and reframing it in a really wonderful way. I'm very happy about my age.
Well, that's inspirational. And so some, you, as you mentioned, have lost touch with our dreams. How do we find this again? How does the average person, of course, you know, the parents aging and ourselves aging, not everyone can find her dreams again. What would you recommend?
Well, first of all, I don't think that they're very far away. You know, I mean, it may have been days or decades since we've last been in touch with them. But I personally believe that they're right there in our hearts. They don't go away. I think the dreams that we've come here to manifest are encoded in the DNA that we brought in with us. So one of the things we recommend, and one of the things that we state very clearly, is that it's never too late or too soon to live them. So no matter how much room left on the runway we have, there's an opportunity to reconnect, and we do it best by getting quiet, by shutting down the noise and the opinions and the barrage of impulses that come at us from the world around us. And the quieter we get and the more we're willing to sit and listen to ourselves and to the wisdom that lies within us, the closer we are to getting in touch with the dream that we've come here to live. Whether we have the courage to act on what we learn in the silence, whether we have the willingness to push outside the boundaries, maybe to chance some discouragement or some disapproval by people who don't want to remember their dreams, that's another story. But are they close? Are they available? My answer is yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what other people think of us is none of our business.
Yes, exactly.
Can you talk about change? I understand that you are experts in change, and of course, as the Tibetan Buddhists would say, we die to each moment and are reborn to the next. So what is your paradigm of change and how one engages?
Well, I don't think we grow unless we change. It's, you know, it's really nature. It's part of life. And I think it's really perspective for me. It's kind of like if you think of hiking and you're down in the valley hiking and you know you're going to reach that mountaintop at some point. And then it's never the same thinking about it as when you actually get up there. Your perspective is totally different. And suddenly you've got this vast perspective. It's change. It's embracing this new change of, oh, okay, I'm in a new place. I'm in the second half of my life. I can look down in the valley now. I don't have to be down there. I'm up here. I have a whole array of different talents that all I have to do is stir up. I just have to think of what made me smile when I was younger. What gave me strength and courage? What were the values of the mentors, older people in my life that I really looked to? Those are the things to remember, the joy that we have. That's always our key to what we can do next, and it really buoys us up in this changing time, too, and gives us the experience of our own wisdom and our own strength if we just follow it. But we do have a different perspective. You know, we are not what we were before. It has changed. It's just us inviting it in and embracing it.
So some of us are spiraling upward, and we see the same, shall we say, events and situations from a higher, broader perspective, and unfortunately some are spiraling downward and deeper into despair. And so are you talking about the soul as eternal? Are you saying that we're going to be reincarnated? Are you, what is your spiritual belief system?
Well, I have a very strong belief of my own, or it's a knowing more, like Carl Jung said. It's a knowing for me that I came in with a destiny, that there's a real purpose for me to be here. I believe that's true of everyone, and it's just knowing for me, knowing that I'm an eternal being. I'm not just this body and this mind. I have a spiritual life, and when I know that, I'm connected to eternity. I'm not so afraid. I don't have to spiral down. I can spiral up because, you know, my higher perspective shows me this is just what I came in for at this time. And this really is a knowing that I have. And it does make me sad that, you know, you can't make anyone embrace that. I just offer that to people as another perspective, as a way of connecting with all that is. And it will ease your fears. It will help you realize that, you know, we're all one. And this is a temporary situation here. And we are going to move on. But to make the best of this, I mean, if this is it, you know, make the best of it. You're alive. It's time to celebrate. And the big thing is that every single person has a gift. And if they let that go, the world does not ever get that gift. So why not take everything that you've garnered to this point, your wisdom, and share it and give it back? Because that's what humanity needs for its survival. We've already seeded it with children. We're older now. It's time to give our wisdom and experience and mentor others. And in that giving, we'll receive.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
The idea of legacy.
Yeah, that's our legacy. Exactly, Mercy. George, I'm going to leave you in. George is absolutely capable hands, and I'm really sorry I have to leave. You're really a delight, and I just honor the work you're doing. Thank you so much.
Oh, I just adore you, sis. So go ahead and do what you have to do. I'm going to ask, and thank you so much. I'm going to ask George about marriage. What is it for you? How does it work?
It's like life. It's not easy, and it is easy, you know. I mean, I want to go back just for a minute, if I can, Mercy.
Of course.
Talk about this thing that you were asking about change, you know. And I know that not everyone has had either the experience that they acknowledge or recognize, or the same belief and faith that Sedina and I have in the durability of the soul and its longevity over multiple lifetimes. There are people that are caught or have a different set of standards and find themselves in this lifetime struggling to gain momentum and gain purchase against what seems sometimes like overwhelming odds, you know? That spiraling down that you talk about, There's a mythologist and storyteller by the name of Michael Mead. I don't know if you're familiar with his work, but Michael's a friend, and he defines people who are aging, and he divides them into two categories, olders and elders. Olders being those who have aged chronologically, but for any set of reasons may not have yet dealt with some of the issues that either they came in with or have encountered. And so they've aged chronologically but may not have matured as fully emotionally or spiritually or intellectually as others. And the others are called elders because they have been on a path, they've encountered challenges, they've met some of them, they're still dealing with others, but they have earned the wisdom that they can communicate, and they communicate quite readily. So if there are people in the audience who are listening and who are more in the older than the elder camp and are struggling, then the thing I would say about change is that clearly it is inevitable. We are changing every instant. The cells in our body and our mind are constantly replenishing ourselves. The world around us shifts every single moment. So not to attempt to stay static at a time when flow is happening everywhere is where the problem is. Instead, if one would look at life like a river and literally let go of clinging tenaciously to the root on the shore and simply surrender to the movement, to the drift, to the motion, not only is it pleasurable, but it's extraordinary. And all of a sudden, all of those issues and challenges that we've been clinging so tenaciously to are a lot less consequential. And we then re-engage in the flow that we have stepped out of. The flow hasn't ever ceased. Our willingness to recognize it. So instead of kind of drifting downriver backward, struggling with the current, to put one's feet up and to allow life to support and carry us is, in my experience, a tremendous key to dealing with change. And, you know, there's that famous quote by Helen Keller that just echoes in my mind on so many different occasions, because when I think of somebody coming to this planet without so many senses functioning and yet leading a life of such courage, I feel like a real whiner when I complain about some of the things that obstruct me. But the quote, "Security is mostly superstition. It does not occur in nature, nor do the children of men as a whole experience it. Avoiding danger is not safer in the long run than outright exposure. Life is either a daring adventure or it's nothing."
You know? Sometimes the senses can work against us. But there's something wonderful about her life, absolutely. Now, some would say that we mature, that we have to live long enough, you know, to become elders. I don't know. Do you believe that we have to live through different stages of life and maybe suffer and transcend and transform in order to achieve elder status or wisdom? And if so, how do we know that we're elders? How do we know that we have wisdom? What does that feel like?
Well, you certainly don't ask easy questions.
No,
that's a good.
That's
thing.
Two questions.
Yes. So, in terms of the first, I think that we all come in with an enormous amount of wisdom, and we have the ability to tap into it at any time that we choose to go into the silence, as I said before, and to trust that still small voice within, however you define it, because it's always there and it's always available if we're quiet enough and willing to listen. And so, therefore, wisdom, I think, is available and expressed by very young people and by very old people and everybody in between. But on this question of elderhood or eldership, I do believe that we do earn our stripes in each lifetime. And I think we do that by virtue of what you said. You know, we have certain challenges and obstacles and whatnot that we are confronted with, and we need to find within ourselves and with the resources that exist around us the opportunity. I think that's part of the learning experience of life. It is not easy. I think as we age, we do have some places that, you know, get bruised and bumped and challenged in a variety of different ways. And so I don't think that's life. You know, you enter it. It's part, in my belief system, it's part of the contract we make. We come in as detectives and experimenters on behalf of the collective called humanity. And what we do is we have a chance to learn the lessons that we have to learn so that we can move on and contribute again to the collective, you know, to the whole. We take the lessons. And life for me is a giant school. And how do you know that you've accumulated it? How do you know you can ride a bicycle? How do you know you can breathe? How do you know you can do any number of things? You know it rather than believing it. Jung obviously talks about the difference between believing and knowing. And unfortunately, we live in a world today that has become more and more virtual, and a lot of people live lives based only on beliefs. And I think our job is to roll up our sleeves and go out into the universe and to learn what we have to know. And when one knows, it's indisputable. Do I have my take on life? Absolutely. I do. And some of that take comes from walking through fires and finding my victories and finding my defeats and squeezing the juice from these experiences. And so that gives me the right as a human being, in my opinion, to communicate my perspective on it. Does it mean that it's right for everyone? No. Does it mean that it's the only one? No. But it's my note in the great song that's life, and I've come here to sing it, and I'll be darned if I don't sing it.
Well, you're singing my tune here. At one point you said that wisdom is earned, and I think that you're expressing that we have to be phenomenological. In other words, we have to actually live in our lives and be awake, and you're just marvelous. Please tell us how we can reach you, what you need us to do, how, you know, what's up with your books, Age Nation.
Well, so in reverse order, Age Nation, a really great place for people to go and learn and experience and collaborate and whatnot. That's reachable through agenation.com. There's radio podcasts and webinars and a weekly post. There are live events and conferences and all kinds of things. So agenation.com, solutions for people who weren't born yesterday. There's a store with other books and by us and other people and all the rest of that. The book, Do Not Go Quietly, A Guide to Living Consciously and Aging Wisely for People Who Weren't Born Yesterday. There's a site, donotgoquietlythebook.com. The book is available at Amazon. It's available at Barnes & Noble. It's available in good local bookstores. If they don't have it in stock, ask them to order it, and they'll be happy to do that.
You have other books.
Yes.
Can you give us their titles, please?
Say Yes to Change is a guide to winning in times of transition. And authenticity is a guide to greater meaning and purpose, both at work and at home. Those are the two other joint books that we've written, and they're also available on Amazon, or they're available on agenation.com. As to what I would hope people who are listening would do is to remember that their greatest guidance lies no further away from them than their next breath, that the best source of wisdom that they will ever encounter, Sadina and I and a whole lot of other people, are great external signposts. They're opportunities to verify and explore what we know and compare knowledge and all the rest of that. But the best knowledge they will ever have is the knowledge that they will receive in the quiet of their own hearts if they're willing to listen. And if they listen, they will find the threads that they can unravel that eventually will lead them fully to living the life that they were born to live. That's the best hope and the highest hope that I have, is that each of us gives ourselves the gift of that precious opportunity to live the life we were born to live.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, I'm so glad that you're in love with your life and in love with your wife, and good for you.
Thank you.
I will be always watching you and looking for you, and I think our listeners will also. And thank you so much for your wisdom, which you have earned. And believe me when I say, do not go quietly. Keep talking. We need you. And
well,
so have a wonderful life, and I hope to meet you on the path again.
Thanks
to both of you, George and Sadina. You're lovely, lovely, lovely people, filled with compassion and hope for all of us. And thanks for what you do. Thank you very much.
And thanks for the work you do as well.
Thank you. Goodbye, sweetheart.
Bye.